Good morning. Our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. The shepherd and his flock. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So appropriate this morning that we start this new series about preparing our hearts for Easter. And I don't know if you're like me, but often Easter just comes and I think, oh my goodness, it's Easter. And what we're trying to do as a church this year is actually allow ourselves to pause a little, to step back and reflect on what is obviously the most significant time of the year for us. I love Christmas, absolutely adore Christmas, but for me, the one service in the year that I would never miss is an Easter Sunday. Because Easter, and as we started this time of worship together with that song from YouTube, encapsulated everything that actually, why we are here to worship, why we exist. It's this connection that we have as humans with the divine. It is this God who loved us so much, the one who flung the stars into space, came down and was born in that stable to grow up knowing intentionally that he would die for your sin and for mine. It is an incredible love story. And it's my story. It's the story about the Savior that I have encountered. And God longs for it to be your story, where you know that it is your Redeemer that lives. It's not about somebody that you've heard of. not something that you might have heard way back in Sunday school, but somebody that you know and have encountered. So as we prepare for Easter, we're going to look at the Good Shepherd. Over these next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to be in the Gospel of John, and we're going to walk with in the footsteps of the Apostle. And we're going to look this morning at the Good Shepherd, and a little bit of knowledge. You may not be aware of this, but I am a sheepaholic. I love sheep, and there's nothing I love more than actually in the spring going out looking for these little springy things in the field that just spring just for the heck of it. And they just give me joy. And am I on my own? And so what happens as a pastor, I've mentioned a couple of times that I like chocolate, and what tends to happen then, and so please don't do this, is that I tend to have chocolate in my little pigeonhole. They just arrive. And so please don't do that, because I'm literally bursting out of my trousers. So I need to stop eating as much chocolate. By the way, for Lent, I've given up broccoli again this year. I thought it was something I do every year. I give up Brussels sprouts 1 year, and that was another sacrifice for me. But I shared with some people, and because, you know, I try and be as real as I can. I have this thing about sheep. I love sheep. And somebody said to me, "You're a Welshman. Of course you have something about sheep. There's like millions of sheep in Wales." But I like the little fluffy ones. And so I've got like little fluffy sheep. And I had 2 or 3. Well, I've got a room full of these now. Because what happened? Well, the pastor loves sheep. I'm going, well, I'll bring him a sheep. And so, Sue, honestly, haven't I? I've got sheep everywhere. I've got my own. I've got a flock here. But I've got a flock at home as well. So please, please don't get me any more sheep, okay? I haven't got any more room for sheep. But there's a reason, of course, why I have such a passion for sheep. Is because I am one. A bit thick, a bit dull sometimes. Sometimes I look back in my life, easily led, stubborn. Ah, oh, my word. And so I can relate to a shepherd who's been trying to mess with his sheep for some little while to actually keep him from not falling off a ledge or getting stuck in a fence or eating the wrong kind of grass. Can you relate to what I'm saying? Or am I the only sheep here? But a long time ago now, I met the Good Shepherd. And he's changed my life, and he keeps changing my life. See, because when I hear stories, like we heard this morning from Gareth, and of course that was the PG version. We need to know there's a shepherd. Because there are wolves out there. In this passage that Delia read so beautifully to us, we're introduced to the shepherd, but Jesus as the good shepherd reminds us that there were other shepherds who were given the responsibility of caring for the sheep. And if you want to look up that passage, a good one would be Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 6. It gives you the narrative of shepherds who were supposed to be caring for the sheep failed to do that. And the people of Israel suffered incredibly. And Jesus said, "I'm not like that." You see, because when these people saw the wolf coming, what they would do, they would actually get on their 10-speed bike and hurtle out of there. And Jesus says, "When I see the danger come, I make sure I stand in front of you. I stand there with you." I was talking with our elders just the other day, and Dave Meadows, who's not very well this morning, so we pray for Dave. Dave was talking about that beautiful picture that we have of footsteps in the sand. Do you know the one I'm talking about? And you see one tea towel, and you've got these two sets of footsteps, and then it turns to one set of footsteps. See, that's what a shepherd does. It picks up wounded, hurting sheep. And sometimes he carries us. Anybody here been carried by the shepherd? Yeah. I have been carried by the shepherd on more occasions than I care to say. You see, but that's what shepherds do. So let's get into this. The first thing I want to say about the Good Shepherd is that the Good Shepherd knows us. And he loves us. And I want to call this the passion of the shepherd. Passion, of course, is the word that comes from that, the Latin word, which means to suffer. And so, of course, when Jesus talks about the good shepherd loving us, it's not some sort of, I don't know, modern, easy kind of love that is all over our song book and whatever. This is the kind of love that costs. And the good shepherd knows us and he loves us. And if you don't hear anything else today, please hear this, that the good shepherd Jesus loves you so much. He loves me so much that he was prepared to die for you. And he was prepared to die for me. He was punished so I could go free. He was beaten so I could be healed. He took my sin so that I could look into the eyes of the Father God and say, I'm only here by the invitation of your Son. And he's declared me righteous. He's declared me clean. He's declared me holy because he's washed me with his own blood. That's the Savior that I worship this morning. That is the good shepherd who has come all those years ago into my life and has been changing it ever since. Have a look at verse 14 with me. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Oh my word, what does that mean for you? You know, sometimes when the room seems very dark, it's very quiet, there's a lot of noise going on in our minds. And actually to know that God, as the good shepherd, knows you and understands you and cares for you. I tell you, it means the world to me. We were praying earlier for a family who've just lost their son. Oh my word, that they might know that good shepherd holding them at this time where frankly I can't even begin to imagine their agony. I don't know, because we're good at hiding things from people, I don't know how lost you feel inside right now. I don't know how scared you are, because it's a scary world. And the good shepherd comes to you and says, I know you by name, and I'm here. If you want to know how much I care for you, just go back to Calvary. That's how much. Have a look at verse 17 with me. It says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. We don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a risen Lord. He laid down his life, but God with his power raised him again on the third day. He says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Jesus, the good shepherd, has authority, if you will allow him to have authority in your life. Authority in your life. In this world that's full of chaos, full of pain, where there seems to be so much confusion, Jesus says, I have the authority to walk with you and lead you in the path that I want to lead you. But the problem is, I'm a sheep, and so I think I know the best way to go. And Jesus says, please, I'm the shepherd, listen to my voice. Jesus' death was no accident. He laid it down so that you might know life. This is how the prophet Isaiah writes it all those years before Jesus was born. He says, surely he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But listen to this. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Everyone say amen to that? And each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him your sin, my bad thought, my bad words, my bad action, all of it. It's all been laid on Jesus. The propitiation for our sins, who took the wrath of God, the wrath that was rightfully aimed at us. But he took it so that actually we can look into the eyes of the Father and say, my Savior who stands with me, he took it all. And we're embraced. I love the way that the hymn writer puts it. Oh, I love the old hymns. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be? I nearly burst into song then. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my... Can you say that for yourself? That thou, my God, shouldst die for me. Not the lovely person sat on the same row. You can understand why God might die for them. But Lord, you don't know my heart. What are we saying? He knows the end from the beginning, knows everything about us. And he said, I knew everything, and yet I still did it for you because I love you. The incredible truth. And when that gets from your head to your heart, it's transformational. Trust me. Do you know it for yourself? Do you know, for many of us, I think, and for me included, it was a struggle to believe that God could love me. Why? Because I knew I was a sheep. And if you get close to sheep, you understand how mucky and messy and smelly they are. They look lovely on the pictures, but you get up close, oh my word. I read this, and I just found this such a tragic article, but I think it describes humanity quite well. So I'll read it, okay? This is of some sheep in a field in a village called Gavas, which is in eastern Turkey. Never been there. This was in the paper. While shepherds ate their breakfast, one of their sheep jumped off a 45-foot cliff. And it died. Then, as the stunned shepherds looked on, the rest of the flock followed. 1,500 sheep mindlessly stumbled off the cliff. The only good news was that the last 1,000 were cushioned by the fall by the growing woolly pile of those who jumped first. And according to the Washington Post, as a result of that, only 450 of the sheep died. And you think, oh my word, how dull. And then I look back at my own life. And you can look at your own life. And you think, what on earth was I thinking then? That's sheep for you. And so whilst I'm absolutely thrilled about knowing the Good Shepherd, I recognize I need one. Because I'm a sheep. In John 10:2-4, it says, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. I love this. He calls his own sheep by name. And he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Jesus has a path for you, and he's saying, follow me. Sheep, follow me. There's something within our humanity that seems to think that we know better than the Almighty God, though. Anybody agree with that? And the more times I've actually gone astray as a sheep, the more determined I become that actually I want to listen out for the voice of the shepherd. Jesus knows you by name, and he also knows the right path for you. I think we need to say it now. I said it a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's really important, and of course it's really not PC to say this. It's really important that you know Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Why? Because he is the only one who can get you to heaven. you will have heard that there are many paths up the mountain. Jesus never taught that. It says in verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. A little later on in John's Gospel, we read this. It's more explicit again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I have a responsibility as a gospel teacher to say to you, Jesus invites you to be saved this morning and to know that you have an eternal security. Will you put your life into the hands of the Good Shepherd? We can put our lives into the hands of so many, but Jesus said, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life that can actually give you the life that you really want. What a gospel, what a privilege for me to be able to share that with you. But I also want to say again, and I've been touching on this a lot in this series that we did about what kind of church, is that yes, it's important that we know we have eternal security, but I want life now, don't you? I want somebody to be able to help me to live the life that God has promised that we can have. In John 10:10, we have two characters. We have one who is depicted as a thief, who is Satan, who steals, he kills, he destroys. He robs us of what is rightfully ours. And then Jesus says, I have come that you might have an abundant life. Not for eternity, in eternity, but for now. And is there anybody here who does not want more life coursing through their veins? And I know I do. But I allow the enemy to steal from me what is rightfully mine. I allow him to steal my peace, my joy, my sense of stillness, that even in the storm of what is life, God is in control and Jesus is in the boat with me, just changing the analogy. Jesus promises to give us an abundant life today. I want to live. We've been reminded again today about just how short life is. I want to live every heartbeat full of life. I don't want to get away with existence. I want to be fully alive as God wanted me to be. Alive. But two other things, very, very quickly. The first one is that God is our Savior, His passion for us as the Good Shepherd. The second one is the Good Shepherd protects us. We read this in John 10:13. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. We've just read that. It says, I'm the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, not if he sees the wolf coming, but when he sees the wolf coming, and we know there are wolves that attack us. There are seasons we go through when we just think, oh my word, I'm under attack. I think Gareth mentioned it actually when he was leading us about the reality of a spirit world of darkness, the spiritual forces of darkness that will come against people, especially come against those of us who are in the family of God. And so when you have the wolf coming, have any of you seen a wolf up close? I have. They're huge. Thankfully, I was behind a railing and a very big fence, which gave me a lot of bravery as I went up closer to this wolf. But if that fence was not there, you wouldn't have caught me anywhere near. A wolf. This is what I've learned about wolves. Is that wolves are not, they don't mind messing with us at all. But they will not mess with Jesus the Good Shepherd. He is way too powerful. He has too much authority. And so it is incumbent on me as a sheep to stay as close to the shepherd as I can. And when we go and stray off, when we stop attending our times of worship, when we stop attending our small group, what happens? We're a bit like that creature in these Attenborough programs, and you just know, you want to close your eyes because you know you can see they're straying off from the herd. And they get picked off, whether by a wolf or a lion. And the enemy, that's what he loves doing. He just loves getting us to a point where actually we just stray away and then we just become easy for him. I've learned the hard way. The closer I am to the shepherd, that is the safest place to be. Remember this from Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you, the good shepherd, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The good shepherd protects us, but also the good shepherd provides for us. Again, in Psalm 23, which is, of course, the great psalm of the shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I have everything I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Oh my word, this is what the shepherd does for us. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. The green pastures. When I think of green pastures and the still water, I think of contentment and peace. Anybody want that? Anybody got a heart here that feels agitated and afraid? And Jesus said, come close to the shepherd and let me still you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. One of the things I've learned in life, that sometimes Jesus stops inviting us to stop. Sometimes he has to make us stop. He makes me lie down. Anybody had that experience? I think I've shared with you that I was asked to represent the South Wales Association at a minister's retirement event, and it was a lunch, and I went along as a representative, and I sat next to these retired pastors. We had a lovely lunch. It was over near Chepstow, and I sat next to a very prominent retired minister. He'd authored a number of books. He was well known in Baptist circles, traveled the world. And I was explaining to this person that by then I was in my mid-50s, so it would have been, 10 years ago. And I was asking him if he'd noticed anything in his body when he got into his 50s. And he said, I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean. I said, well, did you find that you had to adjust your schedule? He said, oh, no. And I thought, oh, I feel like a real prawn. So I thought, I'll just get on with my food. Anyway, so I got to the dessert, and it was a bit awkward, actually, a bit between him, because I'm thinking, I just asked a silly question, you know. Have you ever felt like that? Well, anyway, it was dessert, he said to me, I didn't see it coming, he said, but one day I couldn't get up, and I couldn't get up for 3 months. You see, the Lord had been whispering in his ear to slow down, to stop, to look at his schedule, to modify his schedule. But a point came when the good shepherd made him lie down. And I was able to talk to him because he'd recovered. You see, and that's the work of the shepherd. And the shepherd had to pick up that sheep and for 3 months carry him on his shoulders. And I tell you, that's a lovely thing, but that's not where he wants you to be. He wants you to be walking alongside him at his pace, going in the direction that he wants. Do you think we can do it? I've just got this real sense that God is doing something very beautiful in front of our eyes. Something is happening. Something happening in you. I'm sensing you talk to me about the way that God is just moving in your life. And also the way that you sense that God is going to want to move in this community. How is he going to do that? Through people like you and me. Through this church? Yes, but through our brothers and sisters in other churches. As they wake up, as we wake up, and realize that we have this good shepherd who's calling us to walk a certain path. Brothers and sisters, can we do that? We know that the path sometimes is incredibly difficult. Gareth reminded us this morning that people so close to Jesus have had their lives taken out. We must remember this. And we mustn't romanticize discipleship. When Jesus said to his disciples, follow me, where was he going? He was going to Calvary. And before he got to Calvary, he went to Gethsemane. And what discipleship is, it's a love story. And you know if you love somebody, you will go anywhere for them. You'll do anything for them. And so the shepherd might lead us through some incredibly stormy path. But we're following because we love the shepherd. And we trust him that he knows what he's doing with our lives. You see, he's far more interested in our character than our comfort. Far more interested in our character. And oftentimes through those difficult, gnarly periods of our lives, he is shaping us so that we might become more like Jesus. Do you want that? I know I do. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we can know him as a friend, as a savior, as the good shepherd. But we pray too, Lord, that he might be Lord of our lives, where we surrender all that we are. Why? Because we love him. And why do we love him? Because he first loved us. Help us now. Help us to open our hands to you. And we just say to you, Lord, we recognize we're sheep. Sometimes that means we make dumb decisions. We stray off, but Lord, we would pray this morning, help us to follow the Good Shepherd, to get back on the path, and to follow your voice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming to worship with us this morning. And if you've joined us online, it's just a privilege to have you with us. I just want to say a couple of things before we go for our coffee and tea. If you just sense that the Lord has been prompting you, that you might know him for the first time today, for sure, as your good shepherd, please don't leave this place without praying a prayer with somebody that you trust and invite him to be that good shepherd that he longs to be. So can you do that? And for those of you that know that you might have been drifting a little bit, well, come back to the shepherd. Get as close to him as you can, because it's there that we find life and we find the pasture that we are longing for. So let me just pray a prayer blessing for you. Father, thank you for one another. We thank you for the families that we represent as we're here. Oh Lord, would you pour out so much blessing on every individual and their families? And Lord, would you help us to walk a bit closer to the shepherd this week? And Father, give us the joy of introducing others to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.